So the Lord said, and it's in their speech, the depths of Satan. It's like in the passion they put into all the idolatry, all the things they love in the place of God in Christ, it's in their mouths. They speak of it. They don't hide it. They talk faith, but they talk this as well, and out of the abundance. But the thing is, you'll find them talking more about this than about that. Here's the thing. You find someone who's so dedicated to Christ and that they speak more of that. That's what's on their lips. That's what's coming out of their belly. That's what's flowing out of them. Because there are many who live in this culture, who live in the ways of the world. They're swimming in the same soup that we all have to swim in, but have not this doctrine. Because I don't think people think of it as a doctrine. Doesn't have to be necessarily something we put up on a poster. But it is a teaching or a philosophy that we use and apply, whether we know it or not. You know, everyone has some sort of philosophy, whether even if they have no philosophy, there's some sort of philosophy behind that. There's some sort of thought process by which they are governing their lives. Even in the most minimal sense, they all have it. And so, as we go through this world like that, we could be not really in that doctrine. That may not be our deepest thought, but we're just kind of blindly going through life. You think of yourself as dedicated to Christ, but you don't know that you're kind of swimming in Jezebel's bed, or at least hanging around, or all your friends are in bed with her. You know, you don't realize, because you're just sort of, your heart's in a different place. So you can kind of be in Thyatira without being in Jezebel's bed. But while you may not be corrupt, your church is corrupt. What Christ says to you is, hey, I'm not going to burden you, but what you have, hold fast till I come. So there's some sort of, again, like I said, in all these things, you see not only opportunity for repentance, but you see like a sort of a mixture. It's not all just one way. It's not just like, well, they're all of Jezebel's and they all serve her and they're all doing Jezebel's will and they're all damned. But you see in that place where Jezebel is, who suffered to prophesy and who is having her sway over everything, there are some who are yet in that place, yet not truly given over to it. Hold fast what you have. If you can live in the midst of that swill and still have your integrity, hold on. You know, hold on. And don't read too much into that, meaning like that you can just live in that and do as they do. No. Don't do as they do. In the King James, there's a verse that says, evil communications corrupt good manners. But what that means in modern English is, bad company corrupts your behavior. You keep company with the adherents of Jezebel, and you are risking corrupting yourself. That's why we are called to come out of those situations. If you can truly hold on to your integrity, though, it means more than just, well, I believe in Jesus. They all believe in Jesus. They all have faith of some sort. They all have works of some sort, love of some sort, service of some sort. But what we're looking for is the depth of commitment to Christ that they do not possess. But in their depths, that Christ sees the reins in the hearts, he sees the depths of Satan. And that's what comes out of their mouths, because out of the abundance of what is deep inside, that which is truly satanic comes forth. And I've heard it on people's lips. Like I said, it's, you know, it's a lot like Balaam and Balak. Hey, we're going to sin. Or let's make them sin. So they can be cursed like us. Come with us and do as we do, so that we may all die together. Verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, the refrain. So whoever overcomes and keeps the works of Christ to the end. So we have to keep his works. They said they have works, but we got to keep his works to the end. What's wrong with that? Well, we can't keep up. Why would you say such a thing? Don't you know that Christ gives us the strength to overcome all things? I mean, why? I know some people, they dislike these things. They want to basically say to people, if you can just make a verbal commitment to Christ right now, you can have assurance of salvation forever. don't know how you can make that guarantee. Because I can't guarantee that God's going to honor my words. I don't want my words to fall to the ground. I don't want my words to be wasted and just worthless. But I can't make what I would like to be true for everyone to be true for everyone. It's like the workers of the field. I'm sure those that worked for an hour and got paid the same as they had worked all day. There were some that worked all day, some that worked half a day, some that worked a quarter of the day. I'm just guesstimating the size of the day. He gives specific hours. Each group worked significantly less than the other till he had people who came in at the last hour. And then when payday came at the end of the day, when time came to pay people, he paid them all the same. Now, if you were one of the people who had worked an hour and you saw this, let's say you came into a job and you worked for 1 hour and you got paid the same as someone who worked all day, you'd want them to get more. You'd want them to get something that was commensurate with the amount of work they put in. You'd want it to all be fair. I did nothing to deserve the grace of God. I'm like in at the last hour here, so to speak. And it has nothing to do with time. It has to do with fairness. And I think, why not give them the same grace you've given me, Lord, and so that they could see the things you've shown me? I'd like that. I can't make it happen, though. Let him that has worked so far keep his works to the end. I want him to keep the works to the end so that they can get the same thing I get. I want that because I feel uncomfortable having such grace on me that is not deserved. But that is God's prerogative. That is his choice. He can do as he wills in that. And maybe he will be merciful, maybe not. That is his choice. To him who keeps his works, he gives power over the nations. Power over the nations. You know, it is a religion of peace, but of conquest. He's going to give us authority over the nations, that we might exercise authority over them and rule them. With him as being the chief ruler, of course, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in his return. When we overcome at the end, he's going to put us in charge of the world. The whole world's going to be reordered with Christ as king and with his elect kings with him, under kings, so to speak. And we will rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers. That's what God gave Christ. Rule them with a rod of iron. Break them. Certainly, initially, it's going to have to be so, because it's like there's going to be a lot of resistance. Believe it or not, when Christ returns, everyone isn't, you know, because the problem is, before Christ returns, they're all going to bow down to Satan and accept him as God through the Antichrist, or as the Antichrist, or as Satan, you know, however the nature of that, of the end, however that is to be played out, they're going to accept him as God. And there's going to be a lot of initial fight against that. And so they're going to have to be put in their place. Many men will be slain. And those that remain will be part of the new world that will be created, in which there's going to be peace and justice. And people will live a long time after that. And I will give him the morning star. A lot of times the morning star referred to Venus. This is Christ. Christ says, I am the bright and morning star. In chapter 22. I am the bright and morning star. The name Lucifer literally comes from the Latin, which meant bright star, son of the dawn. Satan is also called a bright star, but Christ is the brightest of all bright stars, the morning star, the brightest light in the sky, other than the sun and the moon, you know, like, but of the stars. He is the morning star, the early riser, the late setter, the first and last, the bright. So if you have an ear, let him hear. These things are somewhat mysterious. They are for the last days, and the days immediately preceding the last days. So I think that the section on the churches is something we can always look at. A lot of people like to study prophecy with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. But if you really want to look around at how things are going, look at the church and look at the seven churches. And see if you can't make connections there spiritually. And you may be seeing hints that the time is approaching, as it may well be. It is always important for us to continually prepare mentally and spiritually for that time. So that's why we study Revelation.